Welcome to Life Church. I'm Aaron Cole, the senior pastor. It's great to see you. Can you welcome everybody? Whether you're joining us at the Appleton campus, the Germantown campus, the Brookfield campus, the Milwaukee campus, the online, wherever you are, we're glad to have you. And look at your neighbor and just say, man, you look good today. Have you lost weight? Just ask them that. You look good today. Have you lost weight? Even online, if you got to ask that of yourself, just take a moment to do that. Can I just tell you, nobody ever minds if you go, hey, have you lost a few pounds? The opposite of that, everybody hates, right? If you gained a few, you don't ever say that, right? No. Anyhow, it's good to see you, and I hope you're enjoying your summer. I hope everything's going well in your world, and I hope that, man, I'm just telling you, I grew up in the South, in the dirty South, where it's just like humid and hot and nasty. There is no place like Wisconsin, especially in the summer, right? I'm just telling you, man. I have a neighbor around the corner. I just saw him yesterday. He's selling his house, or he's trying to, and I'm assuming he's moving south because he just literally just set the snow blower and the snow shovel just right there on the edge of the driveway. It wasn't even a free sign. Just was like, pick it up, do whatever. I'm done with this. And I'm just telling you, I think it's great to be here and great to live in this great state. And so today I want to just, during this summer series, I get a chance just to kind of do what I call some one-offs, some singles, some messages and some things that are on my heart. And so today I want to really challenge you with something. So if you have your Bibles, let me turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And I'm going to look at a few verses there, but I'm really going to hone in on verse 24. It's going to be there in just a minute. But I want to talk to you today, especially if you're, this is kind of going towards a presupposition of you're a Christ follower. If you're not a Christ follower, you're going to kind of get to peer in on the world of what it means to follow Jesus and really what the Apostle Paul tells us that he's telling the church in Corinth about how to live and how to do life and how we're supposed to live this Christian life. We're living in a very crazy day and age, and it's not going to get, can I just help some of you? You can pray and fast and God will answer and show up, but it's not, the craziness dial is not going to get turned down. It's just we're going to have to turn not necessarily ourselves up, but we're going to have to engage ourselves in ways where you just, the day and time for being a lazy Christian is kind of past. And so what is going to mean to follow Jesus today, what it's going to mean for your kids to follow Jesus tomorrow and your grandchildren to follow after that is going to be probably different than what it was in the good old days, whatever that is for you. For me, it was the 80s. For some of you, go further back than that. But whatever that is for you. And so I want to talk to you about how do you run this race to win? And Paul, the apostle, is very clear about this issue, that we're all in a race and we are called not to just participate. This is not like everybody gets a ribbon, everybody gets a trophy, right? Let's all go have a pizza party. No. Not everybody gets invited to the pizza party on this deal, right? He says that we're all in a race and we're not just called to participate. We're not just called to mark time. To translate it to today and age, we're not just called to show up and sit on a pew and sit and soak and sour if we're not careful. We're called to engage ourselves and to run this race to win. Now, when I say that, some of you will kind of be a little bit like, well, that just feels a little bit like winners and losers. Yes, there are winners in life. There are losers in life. There are winners in this world, and there are losers in this world. And you go, well, but that sounds really harsh. The harshness is maybe the reality of it, but the truth of it is that all of us can run this race and win through Jesus. That's called the gospel, the good news, that we're not dead in our sins and our transgressions, that we're not lost, that we don't have to run a losing race, but we literally can run and win. And even if we make a mistake, and even if we fail, He is faithful and just to forgive us. He is faithful and just to help us, that we don't just fail and fall apart and go to the wayside and we're a loser. No. We can get back up and continue to run because greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. That's the gospel. That's the good news. So how do you engage that? How do you live that? I'm so glad you asked that question. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. The New Living Translation says it this way. Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? What's Paul's response? So run to win. Don't just run to participate. Don't just run to get a t-shirt. Don't just run to get a participation ribbon. No, run to win. How do you win in the most important areas of your life? In your home, in your marriage, in your health, in your finances, in your relationship with God. That's what I want to talk about today. How do we do this? How do we stop trying to win, and how do we win? I am firmly convinced that in order for you and I to be the church of Jesus Christ, to be the Christ followers, to win in this age, we're going to have to implore this. This lazy river, kumbaya, sit back, let whatever's going to happen, happen in our life kind of a mindset, it's not going to work in our following Jesus anymore. It's going to cause us to engage ourselves. So how do we do that? Two points today. Isn't that great? 2 points. Don't be fooled by that. I got a lot of material. First of all, if you're taking notes, stop trying and start training. I'm going to show you this in Scripture. This is how you do this. This is how you live an overcoming Christian life. This is how you win. Stop trying and start training. What race that you're in does it feel like that you're limping through? Is it your finances? I just can't overcome debt. I just can't overcome this. Inflation and the market and what's happening. I just can't seem to get ahead and get my head above water. The number one reason why people get divorced is not because they have sexual issues in the marriage. It's because money. Money is the number one issue, the number one argument, the number one fight. Some of you had it on your way to church today. It's money. Is that the issue? What about relationships? Your marriage? Your kids, your friendships, everything feels like an uphill climb. You feel alone. You feel isolated. It's not quite working the way you thought. You don't really know what's going on. You can't seem to make it all. What about your mental and emotional health? You're battling anxiety. You're battling depression. You're battling worry. You're trying to think Christ-like thoughts and think like Jesus. And you're trying to, but it just feels like it is a war. It is a struggle. Maybe spiritually. Maybe you feel like you're 2 steps forward and 3 steps back. Like it feels like your spiritual life is a game of chutes and ladders. It's you're going forward and then you're going backward and you just can't seem to overcome. Pew Research did a study, and they said that 81% of U.S. adults in America attend church regularly, say the number one reason that they attend church is they want to get closer to God. What that means to me as a pastor when I read that data is that you're here not because of me. That's okay, don't say amen to that. You're here really not because of someone else. The number one reason why you are here in the middle of summertime is because you want to get closer to Jesus. You want to become more like Him. You want more of Him in you. You see what's happening in the world around you, and you see how you feel, and you're looking for answers, and you're looking to connect with Him. And here's what I know. If I, as a pastor, and if pastors and churches in this nation don't help you connect to God and connect to that relationship with the Lord and connect in that way, you're going to fall away to the left and to the right. But if spiritual leaders will quit worrying about being cool and worried about trying to make everybody happy, because you're never going to do that, and quit trying to make everything, just simply continue to sing and to preach and to lead about Jesus and go back to the Word and go back to the Word and go back to God's Word, to go back to the Bible and lean so heavily on it that if it were to move, we would fall. You will connect with a God that will supercharge and change your life. And the race that you're trying to win, you'll quit trying and you'll begin to train. How do you do that? Now, what's interesting is that a lot of times what happens in our life is that we're trying and we're trying and we're trying in our effort. So if we're going to get a participation award, you get 100%, right? Everybody gets a blue ribbon. But that's not what matters. What matters is, am I training in this area? What do you mean, Aaron? Well, you got to understand, Paul is using this athletic metaphor, and he does this a lot in this writing to the church in Corinth. This particular location that he's writing to in Corinth, Corinth would have been a modern area city, much like any major metropolitan area in the United States today or in our world. It was a large church. This church was very expressive. Their worship would have been uber hot, like it would have been on fire, like it would have been in fuego. It would have been everything, the worship. This would be the place to be. It was a little crazy. There was a lot of crazy going on within Corinth. Corinth was a very metropolitan city. It was a very sexualized area. It was very, there was a lot of extremities that were happening. And Corinth was known to, behind Greece, for the Olympics to have probably the largest Olympic-style game in that arena, in that area, in that time. And Paul is connecting these people to this athletic metaphor, and he's making this connection because they would have understood everything from that day and age, from the races and the boxing and the wrestling and all that they would do, connecting to their spiritual lives. So I'm going to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, and I want to unpack 24, 26, and 27 and show you how to quit trying and begin to train. He says, don't you realize that everyone in a race runs, but only one person gets the prize, so run to win. How do we do that? So glad you asked that question. Verse 25, all athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. Verse 27, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. So, I mean, we just kicked off the Olympics. Everything is happening in our world. You see these athletes. You see the amount of energy, effort, training, focus that goes in, the amount of science that goes into it, the amount of all of that. Just a quick question, sideline, not in the notes. What would your Christian life look like if you went after Jesus in the same way any of those Olympic athletes pursue their particular sport? Paul says that's what it means. We look at these people who dedicate themselves to sport, to dedicate themselves, but we're not just doing this just because. The Bible never tells us to try to be more godly. The Bible never tells us to try to honor God with our faith. The Bible never tells us to try to be more disciplined. It tells us to train. Paul will go on to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. He'll say this to Timothy, do not waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Can I just stop right there? Most of the junk that you argue about on social media within Christian circles, that's what he's talking about. All the junk that's on YouTube, or as I call it, the YouTube, because that sounds like an old man when I say it that way. It's just a bunch of crazy stuff. Push all that aside. He said, instead, train yourself to be godly. Don't try to be godly. Train yourself to be godly. Verse 8, physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. Paul says we shouldn't try. We should just train. We should work. We should look at every single day, getting up every single day of our life, and I'm not trying to be like Jesus. I'm training to be like Jesus. I'm not trying to be more godly. I'm training to be more godly. I'm going in that direction. Dallas Willard, who's one of my favorite theologians, authors, philosophers, some would say, says it this way, quote, we are not trying to be different people, but we are training to be different people. What's the difference between trying and training? Trying is an attempt to change with minimal commitment. I'm gonna say that again. Trying is an attempt to change your life with minimal commitment, but training is a wholehearted commitment to achieve a specific result. Training is a wholehearted commitment to achieve specific results. Let me say that again for those of you taking notes. Training is a wholehearted commitment to achieve a specific result. I'm not trying to be a better pastor. I'm training to be a better pastor. I'm not trying to be a better dad. I'm training to be a better dad. I'm not trying to be a better friend. I'm training to be a better friend. I'm not trying to be more like Jesus. I'm training myself to be more like Jesus. What does that mean? I am not just passively involved in this. It's a commitment. So if I mess up, if I miss it, if I don't hit it right, if I don't hit the number of reps that I need to in a day, then the next day I do it again, and I do it again. And I refuse to quit. I refuse to fail. Even in my failure, I'm going to fail forward because I'm going to fail. I'm going to mess up. I'm going to make mistakes. But I'm going to, every day of my life, go after it, go after it, go after it. Can I just say this? I see people all the time in church. He goes, man, I like to have a Christian life like that. I like to have a marriage like that. I like to have a family like that. I like to have. Can I tell you the people that you point to that you go, man, they just seem like they're spiritual giants? They're really not. They're not as great as you think they are. Now, they're like the tallest dwarf, like they're taller than everybody else, right? It's okay to laugh. It's not that they're towering. It's that they've refused to quit. It's that they've made a commitment, that the commitment, even when the love is gone, even when the emotion is gone, even when the feeling is gone, that they're there. They don't go to church because, well, it's the cool place to be, or it's convenient. Or no, they go there because they are committing themselves to do what they're doing, to do what they're called to do. They're committed to the church. They're committed to service. They're committed to this. They're up every day going. And when they make mistakes, they own it. They get back up. They dust themselves off because God's grace is sufficient and his mercies are new every single morning. Praise God. And so they keep going for another day and another day and another. They refuse to quit. I love Galatians 6, 9, and 10. Don't become weary in well-doing, for in due season, if you don't quit, you'll have a reward. Trying. No. Training. Yes. It's a mindset. It's a commitment. What are you doing with your Christian walk? Are you just trying? I'm going to try today. Do a good old college try. I'm just going to see what happens. It's kind of like when you play a pickup game after you just had Thanksgiving Day meal, and you've watched the Packers beat the Cowboys again, right? And you think, hey, right? And you're thinking that you're 15 again, and you're 45, and you go out, and you try to throw the ball, and you try, right? And you rupture an Achilles or something like that, right? And you wind up in the ER. You're trying. You're not training. You just ate half that yard bird. I mean, there's no way. The tryptophan is like, whoa, there's no way you can do that. No, how many times do we deal with our Christian life? Just trying. Just trying. Just going to try something. Just going to try something. See if it works. Throw it against the wall, see if it sticks. No. It's about training. It's about a wholehearted commitment. I'm doing this. I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not walking away from this. I'm not walking away from my Lord. I'm not walking away from my relationship with Christ. I'm not walking away from his church. I'm not walking away from. Are you frustrated? Yes. Do you want to quit? Absolutely. Do you feel like a failure? More times than you have any idea. Why do you do it? Because I am training. I am committed. I am committed. So how do you train? Second and last point. Isn't this great? Really good. We run to win by training to last. The key to training, we run to win by training to last. I'm going to explain that. We run to win by training to last. Go back to verse 25 of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. This next phrase is what's key. If you're going to write, underline, highlight in your Bible, this is the motivation behind the training. But we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with a purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Paul points to the prize that will fade away. He's speaking of the laurel wreath, the crown that Olympians would receive in the first century, that was made of a perishable wreath that would quickly wither and fall apart and go away. But we're not running for that. I'm not running, so put it in today's language, I'm not running for man's applause. I'm not running my race. I'm not running this race for you to be happy with me, or for some denomination to see me, or to get another job, or to be lauded by someone, or to be bestowed upon some type of acclamation, or to reach some pinnacle that's in my head. No. I love what Luke writes about in the book of Acts when he talks about David, and he said David fulfilled the purpose of God in his life, and then he died. A prayer I pray daily, regularly, is, Lord, today help me to fulfill your purpose in my life. That's it. Because at the end of the day, the thing is, I'm not doing this for things that are going to be here today and gone tomorrow. That job that you have that's so great could be here today and gone tomorrow. That money that you have could be gone here today, gone tomorrow. That inheritance that you're setting up for your kids, if they're going to blow through within such a short amount of time, oh my goodness, you probably need to spend it on yourself. Amen. It's just, no, we do so much stuff. Like, what we really, if we're not careful, we think that this world that we're living in is the real world, and it's not. We're only here for a short time. Folks, we're only here for a short time, and it happens. And the older that you get, the more that you have treasure laid up in heaven, the more that there are people that are more on the other side that you know that are here. It's the world that we live in. This is a fallen nature. This is what happens. But that's where the good news comes in, that we are not running this race for today. We're not running this race for man's applause. We're not running this race for a fickle people that will be for this person today and against you tomorrow. No, we're running this race for the audience of one. And when you do that, you take all the trying off, and it's all about training, because you're running for a prize that is an eternal prize, a prize that will not wither, a prize that will not go, a prize that will not take away. This is the reason why we talk to you all the time about what are you giving with your finances, because everything else you spend your money on will be gone. That house, that's great. That's awesome. It's an appreciable asset, blah, 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 tax write-off, blah, blah. I get it, all that kind of stuff. Great. It's all going to burn. That car that you've saved up for, that you've wanted this particular, blah, 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 and you've earned it, great, no problem, enjoy it. It's all going to burn. Everything that you have, the lake place, the beach place, it's all going to go. The money, the stocks, the 401k, it's all going to go. The only thing that will last this world is what you do for Christ. That's the reason why when you give money to Greater, that's the reason why when you give money to Life Center, that's the reason why you give money, amen, to the local church. When you give money to, when you do it in the name of Jesus and you do it to the least of these, you've done it unto him, and God is the one that repays, and God's the one that rewards, and God's the one that sees, and you live life for the audience of one. I don't need your money. God doesn't need your money. We don't need your money. What you need is you need to make sure that what you're doing today is redemptive for tomorrow. Amen. And it's the same way with your talent. And what God's giving you this talent, he's giving you this gifting. And I've never understood this. People go, well, you know, I do this all week long and I just want to take a break on Sunday. Really? No, you're gifted. You're gifted with kids. You're gifted with music. You're gifted. You've got a gift of hospitality. You're gifted to serve. You're gifted behind the scenes. You're gifted with technology. You're gifted with communication. Whatever the gifting is, use it as unto the Lord, because that's where what's happening is eternal. You're moving all of that down the road. You're doing all that as unto him, and you go and you give and you serve and you do. This is what we're called to do. This is what's important, because every time I do that and do it in the name of the Lord, I'm laying up treasure in heaven. I'm doing something. It has nothing to do with Life Church. It has everything to do with your eternal reward. And we don't talk a lot about that, because why? Life is really great. Why talk about heaven when I've got, you know, I've got a house and I've got cars and I've got some money and I've got, we don't talk a whole lot about it. It's interesting, even, I don't know if we sang this at every campus, but the Germantown campus that I'm at this morning, when we sang those songs, the last two worship songs before in the set, that's all Book of Revelation. The 24 elders are standing before the throne of God, forever bringing up incense, and they're proclaiming that he's holy. And the only song that the angels cannot sing, they can sing the song of holiness unto the Lord, but it's called the song of the redeemed. And the only people that can sing that song is you and I, who've been forgiven, who've been redeemed. The angels, the Bible says, when we stand before the throne of God, and the 24 elders will stand there giving incense day in and day night, which goes all the way back to the Old Testament. The book of Leviticus says that the fire of God forever burns at the altar. Why? Because it shows the purity and the holiness and the Spirit of God, i.e. the Holy Spirit now, translated, that's the flame, and to the New Testament. It's constantly going up. It's constantly an incense up to God. It's constantly a praise and a worship unto God. That's why we sing those songs. And sometimes I scan around the room and I go, these people have no clue what they're singing. Why? Because you got to get in the Bible. You got to read it. Listen, I know there's a lot going on in our world. But I'm telling you, John the Revelator, to the best of his ability in the first century, is describing what will happen thousands of years later. And he is giving, here's what's going on, boom, and boom, and boom, and boom, and boom. And what we're seeing right now between Israel and Palestine and what's happening in our world today, it's folks, I'm not trying to get New Testament prophet on you. I'm just saying it is all setting up for this. And what we deal with in our world with some inflation, I know I don't like it either. I went to McDonald's the other day and I was like, how much is that? I get it. I think that the gas pump is a working man's stock market. Amen. I mean, I get it. Like, how much does it cost to fill up my car? This is crazy. I found myself driving 2 hours one day just trying to get a little cheaper gas. Anybody else? I mean, it's just like, I get it. But this hell's in comparison to the stage that's being set in our world. It's all setting up. And so the reason why when we sing these songs and when we do this, this has nothing to do with my message. I'm just completely like, there's a bird. But I want you to connect with this. Is we're not doing this for today. We're not doing this for ourselves. We're doing this as unto the Lord, and we're living this life as unto Him. And we're running not this quick sprint, but we're training to last. Get your eyes off the temporal. Get your eyes off the immediate. Get your eyes off whatever the latest ticker feed is on whatever social media, news media thing that you see, because it will be here today and gone tomorrow. Go back to His word. Go back to what's eternal. Go back to what lasts. The enemy of your soul wants to keep you wrapped up on the here and the now and right what's happening in this moment. But the God of this universe says, no, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you, even to the end of the world. I will do what I said I'm going to do. I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will always be with you. And so when you run this race not with an eye on today, but tomorrow. Not on the immediate, but on the eternal. Why are you living for Jesus? And again, it's not just trying to keep your butt out of hell in the sweet by and by, but in the here and now, I'm training, I'm doing. And so when I mess up, okay, when I own it, I ask God to forgive me. He's faithful and just to forgive me my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Then I move ahead. But I'm constantly going back to that piece. So how do I train to last? You get the gear, have a Bible. And I'm just telling you, I know this sounds old school, and again, I'm digital on my notes. I don't have a paper Bible in front of me. But I'm telling you, if I'm sitting where you're sitting, and when I sit where you sit, I pull that scripture out, whether it's on a paper Bible or on my phone, because I want to know if that guy or that girl out there speaking, if they're saying the same thing that this says. You better fact check me. I'm just telling you. Like, that doesn't offend me at all. Matter of fact, it scares me when I see people just doing this. I'm like, they are clueless. I could tell them right now that, you know, Snow White is part of the Trinity, and I think they would, he's like, this is nuts. And you wonder why we get some of this crazy stuff going in our world. And you want, because it's get your nose back in the book. So get a Bible, digital. So the Bible app, it's got every version, everything. It's great. It's awesome. If that's what you want to do, digital, that's awesome. On whatever smart reader, phone, whatever you want to do, get it there. Or get a paper version. It doesn't matter, but have that. Have a journal. What's God saying to you? What's He saying to you? Because if the Bible is a living, breathing, it never returns void, every time you read God's word, there's going to be some kind of a download. I understand there are dry seasons, and I understand there are seasons where you can't, your pen can't write fast enough, but what is He saying to you? There are books, and we will promote books from time to time and different things to help encourage you in your faith, and there's all kinds of apps, etc. But get the gear. Get a game plan. So attend service every week. Find a church. Can I say this? And I've said this for, I've been here 21, almost 22 years as the pastor. If Life Church isn't working for you, please see me or see your campus pastor, and we will find you a church that will work for you. It is more important that you and your family find a church that you resonate with, that works for you, than it is that you're at Life Church. And I think Life Church is the best church anywhere. And I love being at Life Church, and I love you, and I don't want to pastor anywhere else or be with anybody else. But if you're, whatever, if the sound of my voice just gets on your nerves, I have no idea why it would. But you're just like, I can't stand the way he talks. I'll help find you someone who has a horrible voice, but you'll, so... But find a church and get involved and be there week in and week out. And I know I'm preaching to the choir because right now, I mean, it's the middle of the summer and this room is full. Engage in worship Engage in worship. And what I mean by that is the reason why we sing worship is not because to fill time. It's to actively connect with God. And so however you want to do that, that's fine. And if you want to have a coffee or tea in your hand, that's fine. But just make sure that that's not what's prohibiting you from connecting the way you need to. Study God's word. There are all kinds of life groups and small groups and study groups to get in God's word, to study God's word. Develop an active prayer life. How do you do that? You begin to pray. Just begin to pray. Just carve out time. It doesn't matter if you start with 5 minutes and then you move to 6 minutes and then 7, then 10, then 12, then 15. That's how you train. Quit trying to do it and just begin to train and begin to do that. Get community. Serve on a life team. Find a place to serve. One of the best ways you can get connected is to find a place to serve. And again, if you're at Life Church, find a place to serve here. There are all kinds of opportunities. The campus pastors will help you end the message. Join a life group. And again, I've said this every time I say this about life groups, but we'll be launching life groups and pushing that in September. But the deal is, if you go to a group and it's weird, don't go back. And if they ask you, just tell them you're weird. Do one better than that. Tell us that they're weird. Because I'm not in every life group. I know you think that I'm pretty close to Jesus, but I'm not present, and I can't be every place at all. So find a group that works for you, but get together. There's something that happens with that. And get a spiritual mentor. You find and go, well, how do you do that? You get around, you begin to work, you begin to serve. God will begin to open doors, and people will begin to come into your life. You don't go up to a mentor and go, hey, I want you to be my mentor. No, you get involved, you begin to serve, and God will begin to open doors, God will begin to work, and God will begin to put people in your life. Why? Because he wants you to fulfill your purpose. He wants you to do what we're talking about. So when you're training, you don't act according to your feelings, you act according to your commitment. And it's time that we stop trying to get close to God and we start training to get close to him. So I'm going to land the plane with this. Get involved. Get involved. You're going to hear me talk a little bit about this over the next 6, 7, 8 weeks as we go into the fall. Get involved. Serve. Find a place to serve. If this is your church, if Life Church is your church, I'll make a really strong statement. I hope I don't offend you, but if I do, you can go to Lowe's and get a ladder and get over it. I say that with a smile and with love in my heart. If this is your church, where are you serving? That's my question for you. Where are you serving? Where are you serving? And it's not like, oh, you will never hear me. In 20 plus years, I've never gotten up on and said, hey, we need help with the kids in the nursery, and we don't have any nursery workers, and we're going to mandate that moms work the first and the third or the second and the fourth weekends. No, because I don't believe in that. And so as campus pastors and the staff pastors, we recruit. But I'm saying to you as the pastor, find a place to serve. It takes about 400 volunteers to pull off a weekend service. So if there's two services, then there's 800 volunteers to pull off that service. There's a lot of people. Just at Germantown today, there was nobody that was on the worship team that's paid. We volunteer. This is why we do it. Because this is your opportunity to serve. And so I know there's other places, but find a place to serve. Ephesians 6 verses 7 and 8 says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord. Not people. Don't serve people. Serve unto the Lord. Because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever they do, whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. It doesn't matter. Serve. Do it as unto the Lord. But find a place. And there's opportunities at Life Church. Life Center. I dropped by Life Center a week ago Saturday for the food pantry and the food bank that was, and cars were lined up all the way down Burla. And I had Deshaun Wickaratma, who was here last weekend speaking. And Deshaun had just flown in on Friday night. I picked him up and was taking him around. And I said, I want you to see these campuses and see what's going on. And we got there and he goes, because again, poverty in Sri Lanka looks radically different than poverty in Milwaukee does. Poverty in Milwaukee has a car. Poverty in Milwaukee looks different, and we talked about it. He goes, this is amazing. He said, this is the church. I thought he was going to start preaching right there on the sidewalk. This is the church. This is what I said, yeah, this is what it's all about. Can I just help you? This is not what it's all about. I love this. Trust me. I love to preach. I love to proclaim the goodness of God's word. I love to provoke the saints to stir them up for good works. I love all of this. I love worshiping with you and hearing you sing. And I love when heaven comes down. But I'm telling you, there is nothing like being the hands and the feet of Jesus in flesh, reaching people and touching people right where they are. It's hot. It's uncomfortable. It's not always easy. And it weren't that there were hundreds of people lined up to serve. No, there was a skeleton crew of people in the sun, working, giving, serving. Find a place to serve. Go through LifeTrack. Secondly, life groups. I've talked about this, but in September, you're going to have an opportunity to get involved. And I encourage you, get into a group. Get into a group. And you go, man, I'm busy. Hey, I'm busy. I would challenge most of you with my schedule, sometimes Monday through Friday. I'm busy as well, but get involved. And then I want to throw one more thing out there, midweek discipleship. This is something we're going to do this fall. I feel that a responsibility as a church to do as much as we can to help train you to run this race well. So one of the things that I talked about when I came off sabbatical last year was this need for discipleship. So I sat down with executive team and with the senior leadership team and with the board. Then I sat down with various departments, and we began to walk out. And so for the last 10 months, we've been working out a plan to roll out this fall kind of a discipleship strategy that we're going to do. It's an 8-week midweek discipleship emphasis at every campus. Every campus. You're going to hear more and more and more about it, but I want you to hear it from me. So we're going to have Life Church youth just like we have been, but we're going to continue to do that. But for the adults, we're going to have a Bible study. We're going to have a couple of classes. There'll be various things that are going on. I'm going to be teaching. Other staff pastors are going to be teaching. At every campus, this is going to be happening. And so you'll be able to come in and have your kids go into youth, and then moms and dads, you'll be able to come, and there'll be a couple of different options depending upon the campus of what those options are. You'll know all those because you may choose. You may attend the Brookfield campus but want to go to the Germantown because it's offering something that the Brookfield campus is not, or the Milwaukee campus, or the Appleton, or whatever it may be. And a big focus on this is going to be our kids, because I'm really concerned about the next generation. I'm concerned two ways. One, I'm concerned about these kids. Do they know the things of God? What's their biblical literacy like? What's just basic biblical comprehension? And we're getting less and less and less time, and we want to continue to equip and to do. And so this is something that I'm seeing. How do we do this? So this will be an 8-week systematic theology. It won't feel like that to your kids. It's kind of like how Life Kids is. It'll be fun. It'll be an environment. But we're going to be walking them through what we're calling Life Kids U, Life Kids University, for an 8-week process. Think of it like a VBS at every midweek. They're going to be going through just for an 8-week. I know things are busy. It's going to start in October. I know things are crazy, but I'm going to ask you to find a campus and to find a place and to sign your kids up. Matter of fact, you're going to get instructions from the campus pastors of even how you can actually start signing your kids up today with a QR code. The other thing is, as I'm getting older, and I am getting older, I know I look really, really young, but thank you for that. But it's important to me that the church, we emphasize more and more and more this next generation at every single campus. And so I just want to encourage you. And you're going to hear me talk about this in the next couple weeks. I hope you come back next week, and I'm going to be continuing to share a different message. But this flavor is going to be all through it. It's not about our trying. It's about our training. And when we will train, God will show up and he will make up the gap. When we'll serve, when we'll give of ourselves, God will do. So today I want to wrap everything up with a life change story. You're going to see a quick video, and then we're going to be dismissed at all the campuses. Campus pastors will come up after the video, and they'll give you a few instructions, and we'll be dismissed. Life Church exists to see people far away from Jesus have their life changed through Jesus. And sometimes that is conversion. Sometimes that's activation, that you're a Christ follower when you come into Life Church. But you get your faith activated and you find a place to serve. That's this story today. I want you to see Luke and Kelsey Hackle's just very quick testimony and encourage you to don't try, but to train so that we can run this race to win. Check this out.